Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be with you this morning. I greet you in Jesus' name. And I just want to say thank you, Heather and Alana, for sharing a little glimpse into your lives the last number of years. It's good to see what God was doing in your life. And I know that serving in the mission field in that way is life-changing. So thank you for giving us a glimpse into that. So it was several months ago I had shared about a message on Psalm 139, and it was about being known by God. We went through the psalm and considering how well God knows us. And I was just thinking about the flip side to that. You know, God knows us very well, through and through, but how well do we know God? And I was just pondering that. And if you think about a relationship, it goes two ways. And is there that relationship between us and God? Do we know God? And obviously we can't know God as well as he knows us, but are we seeking out knowing him as well as we can? Because the truth is, there are a lot of misconceptions in our world about God and about who God is, his character, and his nature. And sometimes I think people have an idea of who God is and what he's like, and it's not quite accurate. But as they think about that version of God, they say, I don't want to serve that kind of God. You know, it might be a God that would send people to hell, or that would allow bad things to happen to good people. And we have sometimes our own ideas about who God is, and it affects our actions. It has a big impact on how we view and approach God, based on our knowledge of him. So that's the goal of the message this morning, is to just remind ourselves of who God is, and to look at the character of God, so that as we try to figure out life and the different things, the many different things that happen in life, the trials and the good things and how all that fits together in God's plan, we know, at least in part, the God who is behind it all. So I would like to focus on knowing who God is. And I'd like to think about the character of God. So that be the message title this morning, The Character of God. And when we're talking about people and knowing people, I think character is a very important thing to know about a person. What are they like? What's their character? Who are they at the core? And if you would put them in a certain situation, how are they going to respond? You know, what are they going to do? One time I remember hearing a friend talking about a conversation he had with someone else, and this person was just relaying to him and the struggles in church and how a certain pastor in particular was just not handling the situation correctly. I don't even know what all it was. But my friend was just listening to him talk, and as soon as he heard the name of this person, he knew right away that this accusation was unfounded, because he said, I know that person, and I know that's not how they are. And once he realized that, and knowing the person, it was easy to figure out where the problem actually was. It was not with that pastor, but it was with the accuser. And it just goes to show that knowing a person is important, so that when those accusations come, you know that's not really how it is, because you know the person and you know their character. And I think that's how it is with God as well. Because when we know God and when we know his character and what he is like, and who he really is, that can dispel those accusations when they come. And when people have these wrong conceptions of who God is, and there's many of those, and we might have heard some of those before. So knowing God, knowing the character of God, and how do we get to know God? I think the short and easy answer is the Bible, the Word of God. This is how we can know who God is. The more we read about God in the Bible and about what he has done, the more understanding we have of who he is. And we read through the stories and different statements about God. We can learn through that. And sometimes God actually tells us outright who he is and what his character is. And I'd like to look at one of those passages this morning where God is telling us who he is. So my text this morning is Exodus chapter 34. You can turn with me to that. I'll be reading two verses out of Exodus 34. And this is one of those places where God is describing himself. God is speaking. And I'm told, and I don't know exactly how to verify this, but I'm told that this passage is the most quoted within the Bible. So if you read through the Bible, these verses show up more times within the Bible than any other verse. It's the most quoted by biblical authors. They keep coming back to this description of God. This talking about God's character, and just a brief context to know where we're at here. This is at Mount Sinai. So God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai. And this is just after the golden calf incident. So that was chapter 32. And then we see Moses interceding for the people. And God actually meets with Moses a second time on the mountain, makes a second Ten Commandments for him. And it was after this encounter that when Moses came down, his face was shining, if you remember that story. That's just a quick snapshot of where this fits in. So let's read here, Exodus 34. I'll just read verses 6 and 7. It says, "And the Lord passed by before him," that's Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation.'" So this here, these are the most quoted verses within the Bible, and it's God telling us what he's like, telling us his character. And in verse 6, we see five different character traits. And then also in verse 7, we see an interesting description of God. There's two seemingly opposite descriptions, traits that we need to weigh together. So I'd like to look at each of these character traits to help us understand who God is. And we want to just examine these character traits. I don't think we'll have time to look through all of these. I think we'll get through the first two this morning here. So the first character trait that God declares about himself is that he is merciful. He says, "The Lord God, merciful." And I had to wonder, if you had to describe God, what would be the first word that you would use? And you know, that's hard to think about. You know, God is so vast, so great, and it's hard to give an adequate description of God. But it's interesting that the first attribute that God gives when he describes himself is that he's merciful. And I think another word would be compassionate. I think some translations would have that word compassionate. This is how God is describing himself. So I want us to consider this morning, what does it mean that God is merciful and compassionate? I would think about that word a little bit. So definitions can help us understand. And the definition of compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress and a desire to alleviate it. So in other words, when we observe someone who is going through difficulty or pain of some kind, there's this feeling that rises up in us where we just want to help ease that pain that others are going through. We can feel for them, and in some way we can identify and feel what they are feeling. That's compassion. And I think you could sum it up by saying that it's being deeply moved inside by the situation of someone else. That's compassion. That's what it means to be merciful and compassionate. And that feeling is one that moves you to action of some kind. We talked about the desire to alleviate that difficulty. I think a character trait is meaningless unless there's action to go along with it, some type of action that lives it out. And I believe the same is true for compassion. It is a feeling, but yet there's also an action that goes along with that. And that's what it is to be a compassionate and merciful person, one who actually does something. And I think another good way to describe a word, we look at the definition, but another way is to think about it in a story. And I think there's something about stories that we can really connect with, and it makes a meaning come alive to us. So there's two stories that came to my mind. One is personal, and the other is a story within the Bible. So I'd like to think about a story that happened to me a number of years ago when we were living in Cherry Creek. And just a backstory to this, in Cherry Creek, we often had many people coming to us asking to do things for them and asking for help and handouts and so forth. And it was always difficult to know what should you do, what should you not do. And it led to standards and guidelines put in place to help us make those decisions. This is what we normally do, and we don't typically do these other things. So that helped us to work through that. And there's one day where I got a call from a mother in town, quite a few children. I'm not even sure how many, 6 or 7 children that they had. And it was a family that was fairly closed to our outreach efforts. But I got a call from her, and she was just distraught because there was an accident in her family. There was a young daughter that she had that spilled boiling water on herself and had very bad burns and had to go to the hospital. And when the ambulance came, they did not let her go along with her child. I don't know exactly the reasoning for that. But she desperately wanted a ride to go to the hospital to be with her daughter. And I just remember that time. I saw her anguish, and I saw the grief and her desire to be with her daughter. And there was that feeling of compassion. And normally, we wouldn't give rides like that. I mean, we would charge for them and schedule permitting. But I ended up giving her a ride to Eagle Butte and didn't charge anything because of her situation, and did something that I normally wouldn't do. And I think each one of us here can probably think of a similar time when you saw something happening and you did something that you normally would not do because of that feeling of compassion. That's what compassion will do. And the other story from the Bible is from 1 Kings chapter 3. You don't need to turn there. I'll just reference the story. It's a story about Solomon. And soon after he became king, he was presented with this situation of two mothers came to him with a living baby and a dead baby. And both mothers claimed the living baby as their own. And Solomon was trying to figure out what to do. And we know the story, how he said, well, we will take a sword and we'll cut the living baby in half, and each mother will get half. And that's when the true mother of the baby had that feeling rise up in her, and she said, no, just give the living baby to the other woman. And it says, I think the description, it says that she yearned with compassion. It was that feeling that just rose up. She was so deeply moved that she offered to give her baby to the other woman. And that's how Solomon was able to determine the true mother because of that compassion. And I realized that these two stories have a connection. They both involve mothers, and just a mother's compassion for her children. And I think there's something about compassion that mothers can connect with, maybe more than the rest of us. The feeling of being deeply moved by the difficulties of your children and wanting to alleviate that for them. And I believe in that sense, I think we can think about God as a mother. You know, we often think about God as a father, but I think God has the traits of a mother as well. And this is one of those, the compassion that God has, full of compassion and deeply moved by the difficulties of his children. God is a merciful God. As we think about this character trait of God, I would like us to consider, is that how I view God? Do I see God as a merciful God? Or maybe I have a different perception of God. God sees the difficulties and the pain that you go through, and he's deeply moved with compassion. That's who God is. That's the first attribute that he gives of himself. And how many times do we have in our minds the opposite? That God is distant and uncaring. Or maybe he looks at the situation we're in and he says, well, you deserve that. Look what you did. I think we need to be reminded about the truth of God's character, that he's merciful. Psalm 103 is one of those passages where this is quoted, and we get to hear a little bit of David's commentary on this, and he goes on to say, in that psalm, he says, like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. And I think that's speaking about the same thing, that pity and compassion of God. So God is a merciful God. So let's look at the next trait that he gives here. God is gracious. The next trait that he mentions is gracious. Our God is a gracious God. So here again, I want to just think about what that means, that God is gracious. If you look at definitions again, the root word is grace, and grace has the idea of unmerited favor or a gift. And a lot of times we think about grace as getting something you don't deserve. And I remember hearing that simple definition that has stuck with me. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. So thinking of a gift. And grace is a very common theme throughout the Bible, both in the New Testament and also the Old Testament as well. God is a God of grace. It's part of who God is. He shows favor, and he gives gifts, even if it isn't deserved. So the question is, why does God do that? Why does God give gifts, even undeserved? And I think it goes to the fact that God's favor is motivated by delight. And here again, I think this is where a story can help us understand, and I'd like to consider the story of Esther in the Bible. And we know Esther, how she was a Jew, she became queen, and she was raised up to this high position. And while she was queen, this man Haman developed his plot against the Jews to destroy them. And Mordecai, who's Esther's uncle, told her that she has to go to the king and to somehow find a way to reverse this decree that Haman had signed. And this was a very risky thing for her to do, to approach the king like that. She could very easily lose her life. And it was after a time of prayer and fasting that Esther approached the king. And it says that she asked for favor. She said, if I have found favor in your eyes, and that's the same word as grace. If I have found grace, she was asking for a gift. And we know the story how the king held out his scepter, and that was signifying, showing that he accepted her request for favor and his willingness to hold out the scepter to her and extend favor to her was motivated by his delight in her. Because I don't think he would have done that for just anybody. But it was because Esther was highly valued in his eyes that he was willing to be generous in the favor and the grace that he gave. And I think that story gives us a little glimpse of God's grace and his favor toward us. And it's because he delights in us and he values us that he's willing to extend grace. And I'm reminded of Psalm 8, where I think it's David asks the question, "What is man that you are mindful of him? You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have done all these things. You know, what are we to deserve this?" God has shown his favor to humans. And I think that's what it means, that God is a gracious God. That means that he is one who gives gifts and favor to us, even if it is not always deserved. So I think those of us who have children can also connect with this a little bit. They often have requests for things that they don't really need, they don't really deserve all the time, but they still ask. And my son is getting to the age, he's two now, and he's learned what he has to do to get what he wants. And he comes with a pleading look, and he just gives that face that, would you give me this? And you know, it's his mom and dad look at his face and say, how can you say no to that? And you're prompted to do things that you probably wouldn't do because of that relationship and the delight that you have in your children. And I believe God delights in his children as well. And God is very willing to extend his grace and favor to all those who come and ask. God is a gracious God. And I think we know it's not that we just get whatever we want. And God gives us everything, just like parents don't give their children everything they want. But there are so many gifts that God does give. And I don't think we can even realize all the gifts that God has given. And I believe first and foremost of those gifts is the gift of salvation. And if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "By grace are you saved through faith." And it says it's a gift of God. It's not what you've done, not that you deserve it, but God has extended this gift. Our salvation is a gift of God's grace. Our God is a gracious God. Do you view God as gracious? As one who shows favor and gives gifts because he delights in you? Though God is merciful, and God is gracious. And there's three other traits that we see here: long-suffering or slow to anger, and abundant in goodness. Goodness, another translation, would be steadfast love, and truth. And I think I'll stop there for this morning, and we'll pick that up next time I share. But there's more attributes of God that we can just study and then learn who God is. And I think that will give us a glimpse into the character of God in understanding who he is. I think it's a very important passage for us to consider in understanding God and knowing God. God is merciful. God is gracious. He's deeply moved by the struggles that you face, the difficulties that you go through. And he's also very generous in the favor that he shows to his children. He delights in each one of us. So I hope that as we go through these character traits of God, that we can just be reminded of who God is, and that we can be drawn closer to him as we learn to know him more. So why don't we pause for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the gift that it is to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in studying your word and searching out, knowing who you are. And that as we come to know you, that we would be drawn closer to you in love. I pray that you would guide us as we go through life and the challenges that we face. I pray that we would be encouraged by the fact that you are a merciful and gracious God. And as we continue to look through these, I pray that you would speak to us and strengthen us for the path that you have for each one of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.